gentlemen. Good day and welcome to the investor call of Cosmo Films Limited to discuss the Q4 and FY22 results. Today we have with us from the management, Group CEO, Mr. Pankaj Poddar, and Group CFO, Mr. Neeraj Jain. Starting off with the statutory declarations, certain statements in the conference call may be forward-looking. These statements are based on the management's current expectation and are subject to uncertainties and changes in circumstances. These statements are not guarantees of future results. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now may I request Mr. Neeraj Jain to take us through his opening remarks, subsequent to which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you and over to you, Neeraj, sir.
Well, thank you. Very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We'll start the call with a brief performance of the company, which may be followed by the questions. First, talking about the March 2022 quarter results, the company has posted record consolidated quarterly EBITDA of 165 crore rupees during the March 22 quarter. With this quarter result, in fact, the company has posted uptick EBITDA performance continuously in a row from last 13 quarters now. Consolidated sale for the quarter is 821 crore rupee, which is higher by 22% compared to last year's similar quarter. The EBITDA has increased to 165 crore rupee, which is 31% higher compared to last year's similar quarter. And this has happened for a couple of reasons. First, higher specialty sales, which in fact has grown for us almost 17% on full year basis. Better operating margins. BOPP film margins have been running close to 45 rupee per kg compared to previous quarter of 43 rupee per kg. When I say previous quarter, means December 2021 quarter, and rupees 36 per kg compared to March 2021 quarter. And third, of course, the much better performance by the overseas subsidiaries. Subsidiaries taken together have contributed 19 crore rupee of EBITDA in March 2022 quarter as compared to 14 crore rupee in March 21 quarter. Better performance in subsidiaries due to higher sales and higher specialty growth. Enhanced EBITDA along with the lower effective tax rate led to increase in PAT by 45% for the quarter. Now I'll move to full year results. Consolidated sale for the full year is 3,038 crore rupee, which is 33% higher compared to last year. EBITDA has increased to 620 crore rupees for the full year, which is 44% higher compared to last year. And of course, the higher EBITDA is a result of primarily three factors: higher specialty sales by almost 17%, better BOPP film margin, which for the full year has been average running at 40 rupee per kg compared to 29 rupee per kg last full year. An uptick performance by the subsidiaries. Subsidiaries taken together for the full year contributed 94 crore rupees of EBITDA as against 32 crore rupee in FY21. And primarily reason being the higher specialty sales and overall better volumes. Now if you look at trailing 12 months basis, the company's EPS has increased to 222 per share compared to 127 rupee last year end. Again, based on trailing 12 months basis, company's ROSI stand at 29%, and return on equity stand at 39%, which of course is one of the best in the industry. Considering that company's business activities have expanded beyond films, to say specialty chemicals, including master batches, coating, textile chemicals, and we are also going to soon launch adhesives, and D2C, pet care business, and also we are going to soon launch the consumer application firms. The board of directors of the company at its meeting on 9th of May has recommended the change in the name of the company from Cosmo Films Limited to Cosmo First Limited to reflect the company's diversification and company's philosophy. And of course, this is subject to shareholders' approval. If you look at, in the industry as such for the flexible packaging, Cosmo Films is known more for industry-first niche solutions and more for the first to come with innovations. So taking clue from here, company's board of directors feel in whatever business we will operate in, we should be first in terms of the innovation. So that's why the board of directors recommended company's new name should be Cosmo First Limited. The board of directors of the company have also recommended for approval by shareholders bonus issue of 1 equity share of rupees 10 each for every 2 equity share of rupees 10 held by the shareholder as on the record date. The bonus issue reflects basically management's confidence in business strategy and the growth prospects. Coming to balance sheet side, the company's net debt stands at 303 crore rupees as at March 2022, which is less than 0.5 times of net debt to EBITDA and 0.3 times of net debt to equity. And of course, you know, with these financials, it reaffirms the strong financials. That's why the credit rating also during the year has been enhanced to AA minus by CRISIL. The company is looking for about 200 crore rupee of capex in next financial year, which will be largely on value-add capex on the BOPET line. We'll further discuss about detail about it. Second, on the CPP line and the BOPP line, which we already announced earlier. The financials of the company are expected to remain fairly robust even with this capex, because it may be noted that this capex on BOPP, BOPET and CPP line will happen in parts over next 3 years. Of course, the bottom line addition from the capex will come from the coming years. Now I will move to specialty films. Specialty films growth has grown from last 3 years on an average by 18% for us. The company's specialty sale for FY22 now stand at 63% in volume terms and 70% in value terms. We are in process of ordering several other value-add assets to further enhance growth in the specialty portfolio. And we are looking for 80% run rate target for this by the specialty film by the end of the FY23. Some of the key products which will drive specialty sales growth include synthetic paper, coating films, the technical films, and the thermal lamination. Of course, to add to it, some new products are in pipeline, like the direct thermal printable film. We call it DTP film. The company is also going to launch heat control film, which will be typically used in offices and homes, and we expect by the end of the FY23 we should have this film in place. Now I will move to growth projects. In coming years, B2B segment, which include growth in the specialty sales, specialized BOPET line, world's largest BOPP and CPP line, and the other vertical B2C segment, which include direct-to-consumer pet care and very specific specialty chemicals. These are the business verticals which will drive the growth. Specialized BOPET line commissioning may start from quarter 2 FY23, in fact later part of quarter 2. The line will add close to 20% capacity. The company is targeting complementary growth from the specialized BOPET line, like the shrink label, the other high-end specialty. This will partially substitute imports happening in India and is also an excellent opportunity to convert non-recyclable PVC film market in India, which is close to 30,000 metric ton industry. The company has placed order for new BOPP line, which will be world's largest production capacity line and will increase company's production by close to one-third. The line is expected to commence commercial production by FY25. Further, as announced earlier, the company has also placed order for CPP line, which will have close to 25,000 metric ton capacity and expected to commence commercial production in about 2 years from now. The CPP film will promote sustainability as it will offer mono-layer structures. The capacity addition, now to summarize, BOPET, BOPP and CPP line will allow the company to further expand its specialty film portfolio. Moving to Zigli, as we know, pilot launch of the pet care division under the brand name Zigli has delivered better than forecasted result. And now in the company is in a phase to rolling out its digital-first omni-channel business model for Zigli. The company now plans to enhance presence by increasing online sales by launching the app and open stores between 15 to 20 stores in FY23. Moving to specialty chemical, the master batch line is doing fairly well for full year. In fact, in the first year of operation of the company could use more than 50% of the capacity on the master batch line, with exit quarter four run rate of 62% capacity utilization. In the first year of operation, company is tax positive on specialty chemical. On textile chemical business, the commercial production has started from the quarter two of FY22, and we already commercialized more than 50 products which are getting supplied to 40 plus customers. The company continues to conduct extensive trial with the customers and expect much more products and much more customers to add in the coming months. Now, for the specialty chemical, I would say FY23 will be year for scale up. I think these were the updates from the management side. Now, we would like the call to open for questions, please.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The The first question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much to give me the opportunity. Sir, when you have just mentioned in the highlights, when you demerge Jiggly, when it gains some decent top line or bottom line or just now?
So, if you got your question right, your question is when we would demerge the pet care division.
Yeah.
So, I think that is on cards as we announced earlier. So, currently we are at the stage of scaling up the operation for the Jiggly. Practically, current year, FY23, will be our first year of operation in terms of the scaling. So, I mean, it will be medium term, it will not be long term, but that's on card.
Okay. So, we may think in financial year 25, we will be able to demerge this?
Well, frankly, that's board of directors to decide. But as I indicated, it will be medium term, it will not be long term.
Okay. And sir, secondly, what is the purpose of Korean plant we have established there? Can you tell how much we have invested there? What is top line and bottom line?
So actually the company has acquired GBC's commercial printing business more than a decade back. And with that acquisition, we inherited the Korean plant, which actually is a very good plan to cater particularly to the Japanese market, which is fairly sensitive market in terms of quality, etc. We definitely see a value add from the Korea plant. So we continued operation in the Korean plant, while some other plants we actually shifted over a period of time from overseas location to our SEZ plant in India.
Okay. So, what will be the top line and bottom line in financial year 22 for Korean plant?
Broadly, the Korean plant cater to Japanese need. So, it largely supplies to Japan. But other than this third-party sale, I don't recall the exact number, but it will be less than $10 million.
$10 million. And it is in profit?
Yes.
Okay.
Korean operations are in profit.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Faisal Hawa from HG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
Hello.
So, please go ahead.
With so much deglobalization taking place, would it not be a better idea to be expanding in locations abroad where more modern plants are needed, and also with the ongoing shipping crisis and also the import tariffs that countries are putting up, can we see at a more multi-locational manufacturing activity from your end?
We believe that India has significant demand within the country, and our costs are still very competitive in the world. Therefore, when it comes to film business production, we continue to expand within the country. However, when it comes to some of our other businesses, we are going to evaluate in the future whether we should expand overseas and more so for Jiggly.
And secondly, sir, I missed the answer on the value addition that we are enjoying at this point of time. That is one. And second question, one more question is that, how are we, being able to adjust the organization's culture towards now a B2C business, which is the pet care business, and, where the more startup kind of a mindset is required. So, but have we developed any best practices to do that, because that could be a really good case study going forward also for most other companies.
So, as far as all of our businesses are concerned, they are run by separate teams. It is not that, everything is being run by a common team. Jiggly has a separate team. Cosmo Speciality Chemicals have a separate team. Heat Control Films have a separate team. And Accordingly, the culture is also designed in line with the needs of the business. However, as a group, we have a very progressive culture. We are employer of choice. We are first when it comes to our people. And therefore, we do not see any issues around that.
And about the value addition, sir, where does it stand at this point of time?
Say again, please.
Value addition.
Could you please repeat your question?
What is the VA now that we are enjoying for BOPET and BOPP films?
Value add, right?
Yeah, value add.
So value add, it will all depend, I mean, on the type of the film. As we right. indicated at the beginning of the call, the gross margin was running close to 45 rupees per kg.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, depending on the exact nature of the film, the variable cost component varies between 15 rupees to 25 rupees. So that means if we add 45 plus other variable cost, this will give you a total value.
Okay. I'll come back in the queue for more questions, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team, and congratulations for excellent set of numbers. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
I have only one question. So, the last 2 years have been very eventful for the entire industry, like in terms of the demand growth, what we have seen, and similar improvement in the margin. So, but if you can just help us explain in terms of what were the challenges being faced by the company over last 2 years, our learnings and lessons through that, through these challenging times or the challenges being faced by the company, and if you can explain this with respect to the new product launches as well as some of the process improvements what we have done over last 2-3 years, that could be helpful, sir.
We love challenges. That makes the life more interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're all living in a VUCA world where in the morning you plan for something and in the afternoon you do not know what event will happen which is going to make changes to your planning. Having said that, we believe that businesses' success is a lot about people. I would say that close to 90% it's about the team that you have, it's about your people-to-people dealing and so on.
Yeah.
And that remains our focus. If you have the right set of people, you can meet any of the challenges. When it comes to specific challenges, we have started many new businesses in the last 2-3 years, building up the team, ensuring that we have the right set of culture, ensuring that the strategy is right. Those have been some of the areas that we worked vigorously in the last 2-3 years. When it comes to film, we ensure that our customers take the benefit of BOPP being one of the most sustainable materials. So we help them creating recyclable structures. We entered into specialty business with more vigor, and every year we made sure that we have better growth than the previous year. As we all know that getting into value added is a very tough task. You need to have a portfolio of products. You need to have continuous innovation. You need to have ongoing trials with the customers. So Cosmo team did very well in terms of not just growing year on year, but making sure that every year's growth is better than last year's growth. So I think the plate was full and Cosmo team really did very well to surpass those challenges and making Cosmo successful, not just in our existing film business, but launching our new business very nicely, and we already have started seeing the benefits of it.
Correct. So, sir, like if we can just correlate with our, let's say, power cost or the wastages, what can happen out of the film production, because ours is also a power intensive industry where on an annual basis we may be incurring around 130-150 crores of power cost. So have we done anything towards that side in terms of controlling some of the cost by entering into some contracts with the outside agencies where we can get a power on a sustainable basis, which helps us to run our plant also smoothly. So one upon that side, and second on, have we been successful in reducing the wastages or in a way improve our input-output ratios for the films?
So I would talk about the larger subject.
Okay.
We have been working on reducing the carbon footprint by 50% by 2030.
Okay.
And we also want to eliminate some of the carbon that we emit by planting thousands of trees.
Okay.
Those are two very broad level objectives that we have set for ourselves. When it comes to power, we are increasingly shifting to renewable power. All our plants have solar power. Then our Baroda plant also has wind power. We have done a very large agreement again for Baroda, where we are going to shift almost 50% of our total power requirement into renewable sources, which is going to be effective within next few months. One side, it is going to make us more sustainable company. At the same time, it will also reduce our variable cost, because we all know that the cost of generation of renewable sources is very limited. It's just a one-time capex that you have to do.
Correct.
We are also evaluating various possibilities for both the Maharashtra plant. Maharashtra government policies, I would say, still need more improvement to encourage more and more renewable power. Having said that, we identified certain areas where we can increase the renewable power access for us. Even when it comes to wastages, we are working on various fronts. Last year, we were able to reduce our wastages by close to 8-9%. But more than reducing wastage, what we are also making sure that some of this wastage can be reconsumed in the factory again. So we have increased the reprocessed granules consumption in the last year by more than 25%, which was a pretty large achievement for us.
Correct.
We've also worked towards reducing the number of trucks that we use to reduce the carbon footprint, and we were able to do that reduction by having better truck utilization and thereby reducing the overall carbon footprint by 15% when it comes to usage of trucks. So your company has taken a lot of initiatives to be a more environmental friendly company and at the same time be more sustainable and reduce the cost.
Got it, sir. Yes, sir, it answers my question. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinath M. from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, we are looking at about 900 crore expansion over the next 3 years in the films business. What kind of asset turn should we expect on this 900 crores?
Yeah, different businesses will have different turns.
Yeah.
If you talk about our film business, it has a turn of close to 2.
Okay.
If you talk about our chemical business, it will have a turn of maybe 10.
Right.
If you talk about Ziggy business, it will again have an excellent turn as we continue to scale up and revenue from online and offline goes up. It will also easily have a turn of maybe 5. And these turns will continue to improve as we scale up the newer businesses.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if it answers completely.
Yeah, just that your presentation gives the detailed breakup of the film's capex, but the chemicals capex is not very clear. How much are we likely to invest in chemicals over the next 3 years?
Totally about our chemical businesses, it's a specialty chemical.
Yeah.
It's more of innovation business than putting too much capex, so it's very asset-light business.
Okay.
And with a very good ROCE.
Right. So, any tentative capex number?
Yeah. So, just to add to what Pankaj said with respect to specialty chemical capex,
yeah,
predominantly for a particular level of operation, we have done the capex in FY22.
Right.
As I indicated at the beginning of the call, FY23 will be year for scale up for specialty chemical business.
Right.
There would not be any significant need of capex in FY23 in
specialty. Right. Okay. And my second question was a slightly broader question. Is there an overall strategy in the company on how to enhance shareholder value, especially of the minority shareholders? So just wanted to think, get your thoughts on an overall strategy for minority shareholders.
So, shareholders to us are extremely important.
Right.
They also come first in our Cosmo First branding.
Right.
And if you really see, we've always been a very good dividend-paying company, if you see last 20 years of history.
Right.
And recently now, in the last board meeting, the board members have approved bonus shares.
Right.
In the recent past, we've also done buybacks.
Right.
So these are some of the measures that we have taken, and we'll be very happy to hear if you have any specific suggestions which can make mutual sense for the investor and the company both.
Right. So a couple of thoughts was that I think this year we declared about 35 rupees as dividend overall, two interim dividends, 25 and 10. 35, right? And our full year EPS is about 222. So the dividend payout ratio works to about 15%. Can it be higher? That is a question which we need to ask ourselves. Can it be 20 to 25%? For example, one of our competitors has an explicit dividend payout policy of 20% of consolidated profits. So can our payout ratio be higher? That's number one. Number two, we had significant reserves actually. So why this 1:2 bonus when it could have been a more liberal ratio? So any thoughts on these two things, payout and the bonus ratio?
Well, if you see, the competitors, you have all kind of examples. You have kind of examples may not be paying the dividend at all. And
right.
Of course, one example we have.
Yeah, but you have to look at best practices only. So rather than look at companies who don't have payouts, we should look at those who have. Because they enjoy higher multiples than our company does. So there must be some reason, there must be some correlation between payouts and multiples, PE multiples. So that is something we may need to bear in mind.
So broadly, if you look at, last one decade history or so, the company has been paying between 15 to 20% of PAT as the form of dividend.
Right.
FY22 has been a record performance for the company. And accordingly, the dividend in terms of per rupee also, it has been at the record level.
Right.
But of course, having said so, it's up to the board of directors to finally decide on the dividend.
Sure.
But it's in alignment to the company's further growth plan, the capex. Accordingly, the dividend payout has been considered for the FY22.
Right.
But I will take your first part of your question in a little different way.
Mm-hmm.
Not only about rewarding the shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
The a large part of the reward may come in terms of the capital appreciation of the share.
Sure.
And that for that purpose, company is planning fairly assertively the growth.
Right.
And of course, the diversification also in fields like one of business will have very superior kind of the ROSI or expected to have fairly superior ROSI in that time.
Right.
One hand, company is trying to overall increase the ROSI performance for, of course, the capital appreciation in the value of the share.
Right.
And on the other hand, another business where we are investing, of course, visibly, is expected to generate fair amount of valuation for the shareholders. So, in overall, if you look at, one is the rewarding, and the second, of course, the company's continuous effort in these directions.
Sure. So capital appreciation, we should look at two parts. One is the earnings per share and the other is the PE multiple. So company is in control of earnings per share, but the PE multiple is a function of the market, what the market decides. So market seems to favor companies with higher commitment to minority shareholders, actually. So that is what the numbers seem to suggest. Like one of our competitors is enjoying a P multiple in excess of 15, whereas ours is kind of sub 10. So we should maybe think of how we can raise our P multiples. The earnings will come for sure, but the P multiples also will decide the capital appreciation. So I thought that maybe a 1:1 bonus would have been the most common thing, I mean, because we have ample reserves. So what was the thinking behind 1:2?
As I said, I mean, it's board to decide finally. The board has various factors, you know, behind this.
No, if the company proposes something, there's a good chance that the board may approve that, but the company may have proposed 1:2 only. So I was just thinking, is there a thinking behind that?
Yeah, there are considerations behind it.
Right.
Multiple things were discussed. Those were closed meetings and, you know, obviously you can access a lot of the stuff which happened in the board meeting. But to be honest, yes, all these things are discussed in the board meeting. As
right.
you know, we have a highly celebrated kind of a board with some very respected members of the, you know, from the society, and I'm sure they have taken an informed call on this.
Right. And one final question.
Yeah. So sorry to interrupt, but for any follow-up, may we request you to rejoin the queue, please?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurav Datta from Minerva India. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand the reason for the decline in EBITDA margins in Q3 FY22 and Q4 FY22.
I'm so sorry. Actually, you need to repeat your question.
Okay. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yes, Joseph, I wanted to understand the reason for the decline in the EBITDA margin sequentially from Q3 FY22 to Q4 FY22. There's a slight dip in the margins.
Well, actually, I mean, this is an industry, as we said in the past, where, you know, in terms of the percentages may not be the best way to look at. So while, you know, in terms of the absolute value, the margin has increased, as I indicated at the beginning of the call, or BOPP overall margin was 45 rupee per kg compared to 43 rupee per kg previous quarter. And last year, of course, the number was much lower. So, but since the value of the sale depends to a large extent on the raw material price, in percentage terms, it may be up or the down depending on the raw material, because ultimately we all have to shift the large part of the raw material increase to the customer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that way, in percentage forms, it may not be the best way to look at for this industry.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubham Agarwal from Equitas India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. And first of all, congratulations, Team Cosmo, for a super set of numbers. So my question was regarding the heat control film that you talked about. I just wanted to know a bit more, like, when are we planning, what's the timeline, what's the market size, and what kind of revenue and margins that we can do out of this?
So heat control is a very underdeveloped market in the country. And we feel there's a very large potential to educate the customer how heat control can reduce their air conditioning load, be more sustainable, and make their houses look better.
Right.
So it will require a lot of education to the consumers in India, and the margins in this business should generally be quite strong. There is a lot of imports happening in the country when it comes to heat control films. A lot of Chinese low quality, poor quality material is coming, which eventually has to stop and be replaced by the right product, which can actually make a difference to the shopping malls, to the commercial complexes, to the industry, to the consumers at large. And we ourselves have very strong aspirations when it comes to this business.
And any set of timeline that we have in mind for launching this product?
It should be launched early next financial year.
Okay. Okay. So this will be post the BOPET line.
Yeah, this will be value addition to the BOPET. We have done a lot of changes to our BOPET line. There will be a lot of barrier to entry, because we have modified our line. We have added a lot of assets after this. And given our strength to R&D, virtually everything will be done in-house. And we feel that technologically, we'll have the best product in the world and the most cost-effective, both at the same time.
Nice to hear that. And secondly, my question would be forward-looking to FY23. So obviously, this year was very good and realizations and margins have been pretty good. But for FY23, how do we see the revenue growth, or from where, if you can break it up between specialty chemical, BOPET line that is coming up, and any other initiative that you are taking, the growth from the growth perspective, if you can break it up, it would be helpful.
We cannot give forward-looking numbers, to be honest. Having said that, the growth will come from polyester business. The growth will come from specialty chemicals business and Ziggy business. So there will be three areas where growth will come. On an overall basis, we expect minimum 15% growth to happen in the current year.
Okay. So I was trying to understand out of this 15% growth, how much would be contributed from specialty chemicals as such?
Sorry, just one rider there. This we are assuming that raw material price will remain same as last year. And at times, our EBITDA percentages and sale percentage growth numbers do get impacted. Last year, because of the commodity shortages worldwide, raw material were at all-time high. So we have to factor in that. But this 15% number that we have given is assuming that we will have same set of raw material cost.
Right.
Now, coming to a specialty chemical will become a very important component of the business as we pass each year. Within 1 year, we have, in the last year, we have done 90 crore sales when it comes to Cosmo Specialty Chemicals. And we will be more than doubling the sales in the next year.
Fair enough. And lastly, a bookkeeping question. So our tax rate this quarter seems to be on the lower side, I think 19.6%. So any specific reason, and will this go back to 25-odd%?
Sorry, come back again?
The tax percentage.
Yeah. So see, tax will now most likely will stay around 25%, because if you do not take any exemption, then it is expected to stay 25%. We are doing an evaluation whether we should stay with the old regime or shift to 25%. Within next couple of quarters, three quarters, we should be able to complete our assessment whether we want to stay in old regime or the new regime. But irrespective, our tax rate should be around 25%.
Fair enough. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. So my question was regarding our subsidiary. After taking over a U.S. subsidiary long back, Eco Brand, we have been struggling even in Korea and U.S. To generate some profit. But in last few quarters, we are doing decent over there, especially this quarter. So can you highlight upon how that business is panning out and how do you see future of these subsidiaries? Do this profit will grow from here on, or it's still challenging?
One of the critical changes that we did to our strategy, that these operations as a standalone were very small. And as we understand that Japan, Korea, US are all high-cost countries, and they were making losses. The simple thing we did was to make best use of our assets. We sweat them out, and we ensured that we increase our sales of all our products and not limit ourselves to lamination films. This strategy has played very well for us. Our sales in US has grown from $30 million to $65 million. And we do expect that the sales will continue to grow from here and will generate decent margins to Cosmo.
That's great, sir. That's great. My second question was regarding our entry into this heat reduction film. So what we understand, correct me if we are wrong, there is a this area is very crowded. There are many people and established branded players. So how will compete them? How do you see facing these challenges?
Unfortunately, India does not have any branded player. As I said earlier, India is importing films from US, China, Korea, and some other countries. And we feel that there is clearly a space for one established player. We feel that the margins in this business are very nice. The important thing is to crack down on the technology part, which we have been working for more than 2 years. And as we said, that we will be the first company in the world who will have complete backward integration for everything that we are going to use in that film. And therefore, we will be technically very superior and cost-wise will be very superior. And therefore, obviously any brand development takes time. It will not happen overnight. But we feel that we are on a journey to make a very successful business in the times to come.
Very helpful, sir. Thank you very much and good luck to you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manan Jha from Moneybee Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question was pertaining to slide number 3, where you mentioned each 1% shift in specialty adds to around 4 to 5 crores to EBITDA. So I just wanted to understand whether this still holds true in the current pricing scenario. And if we are moving from 70 to 80%, would that mean that it would add another 40 to 50 crores to our EBITDA?
You are right on both the questions.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipen Sheth from UN Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, and thanks for the opportunity. So I was just taking a look at your balance sheet, and while consolidated net debt to EBITDA or equity is continuously coming down, that's not the case with gross debt, and we continue to carry reasonable amounts of investments. So is there a particular reason we are doing this? Is there an arbitrage in the cost of borrowing versus the yield on these investments? Is that behind this decision?
There is arbitrage, but we are not doing it for arbitrage. But we want to have a very strong war chest as well as money available for our future expansion plans.
So is it fair to assume that the entire composition of the treasury or the investments portfolio is liquid in nature?
Yeah, it is liquid in different parts. Some is liquid at a very short notice, some is liquid after, you know, some months or some quarters. So depending on our needs, we have different guidelines for every investment.
Okay, and the other thing is that we've laid out a CapEx plan of some 800-900 crores. Naturally, it won't happen in one particular year. It's going to be spread out over a period of time. Now, while we continue to carry debt at a net level and, in fact, reasonable amounts at a gross level, when you look at the business, and yes, it has transformed over the last 3-4 years pretty dramatically, but what used to be a single-digit margin business now looks comfortably placed to do at least mid-teen margins. Is that a fair take, or is there cyclicality which we must protect against and perhaps just pare down debt?
There are two parts of our business when it comes to only films. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in the medium to long term, we intend to become a large Indian conglomerate.
Sure.
However, when you talk about only film business, 65%, close to 65% of our business is already into specialty,
yes.
Where the margins remain stable because we are linked with our raw material cost.
Okay.
35% business is still cyclical, and we intend to make less and less cyclical by moving more and more towards specialty.
Excuse me.
We cannot be a 100% specialty company because some of our customers continue to push us to supply some commodity, and in many cases, let's say if you're exporting and customer wants 20 tons, they may have a demand for only 15 tons of specialty, so we end up giving them commodity, but we will move this number to 80%, and then even with the new expansions, our focus will be that at least on an overall basis, 80% of our volumes remain in specialty.
Right, I'm hearing you loud and clear. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers. So, sir, when you say 80% of your sales, you aspire from specialty, so is it by value or is it by volume?
It is by value. However, by volume also we intend to achieve.
Okay, and sir, on your CapEx plan, you have not given CapEx plan for your specialty chemical business and your pet care business. So can you give the figures what you want to spend for these two business over the next 2 years?
So I have already stated that chemical business did 90 crores last year in the kind of the first year for the business. And we intend to more than double in this current year.
I'm talking about CapEx.
Yeah, CapEx, both these businesses have very limited CapEx. The chemical business is more about innovative products and doesn't involve too much CapEx. I do not think so that next 5 year CapEx will be more than 50 to 75 crores when it comes to chemical business. Though obviously, these things can change over a period of time, but irrespective, specialty chemicals do not require a huge capex. Similarly, in Zigli, we are operating on a leased model when it comes to stores or warehouses. And also for online, as we all know, that the capex is very limited. So both these businesses, the capex from a size is very insignificant versus for a film business, where CapEx continues to be much higher.
And so lastly, on BOPET lines, what is the amount we have spent till date?
Close to 250 crore rupees.
And for BOPP, where 350 crore CapEx is lined up, how much is spent till date?
Well, we have already placed order for the line, so advances have been paid. And the remaining part of the CapEx is to be done till FY25.
Okay, sir. And lastly, I missed the asset churn. Last question, please, if you allow. Hello?
Sir, we have participants waiting in the queue for their turn. If you would return to the queue for the follow-up.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinath M. from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, again, I had one broad question. Is there a long-term, five-year kind of a target from 3,000 crores currently? Is there a ballpark aspirational target for the management over 5 years out?
You see, over the 5 years, although it's difficult at this stage to quantify exact number,
right.
Broadly we are looking for $1 billion.
Right. $1 billion of revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirti Tibrewal from Yashvi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes. Please proceed.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask, sir, can you please give production or sales volume for the year or for the quarter?
So as we said, overall specialty chemical did close to 90 crore rupee of top line,
Volume numbers, we are sorry, we would not be able to share on the call.
Okay. And is there any outlook for the cost increase? Like, is it going to increase or is it going to stabilize?
You see, as if you are referring the film business, as you can see in the quarter four results, the margins are little better in absolute value. So far, whatever raw material cost has increased, that has been passed on to the customers.
Okay. And so any price increase or realization, which any price hike you are going to take?
Yeah, that's something which is, you know, a continuous process. So that there's no specific date or plan for price increase. That keeps on happening from time to time.
So any definite timeline, like if you're going to take a price hike in the coming quarter or something like that?
You're referring to the timeline for the price increase.
Okay. Yeah, sir. Any price hike, any percentage-wise?
We would not be able to indicate any timeline for the price increase. As I said, it's a very continuous process. It keeps on happening. You know, it's a business day-to-day decision.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Faisal Hawa from HG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
So, sir, how do you see the recycling business coming up in the future? And because Uplex has also has announced something similar, and even Polyplex has done it. So you feel that it could almost become like an extension of each and every films company's business? And second question is that how do you see do you see any opportunity in the Tetra Pak business, because you want to be first in almost everywhere? So the Tetra Pak is now being manufactured by others also, and this could be a huge opportunity going forward. And you feel that there are some other opportunities also in the recyclable space, you know, where paper is replacing plastics or films and other materials that are not very environment friendly.
So, as I understood, your question has three parts. One is on the recycling. You see, all our plants today also, I mean, are equipped and have been doing recycling for the waste getting generated within the plant. So, and on the top of it, in any case, company is looking for the recycling of post-consumer waste as well. So, I think that's very much on the radar. We immediately have no plan to launch any kind of Tetra Pak kind of the product, but synthetic paper is an excellent product, and which, you know, if you will touch it, it provides you a feel of a paper, although it's plastic. And the target is basically any durability which you need to provide, like, for example, the university certificates, school certificates, passports, maps, visiting cards. Wherever, you know, you intend to provide the feel and touch of paper, but with added advantage of durability, the synthetic paper is an excellent product to have. So we are fairly optimistic about the synthetic paper for the coming years.
They're used for capacitor manufacturing, because now electronics will be a big, electronics and mobile manufacturing will be a big hub in India also.
So your question is capacitor film.
It's doing.
Oh, sorry, your voice was waving. Not able to understand your
question. Which X-Pro is also doing in India? X-Pro.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you recall, two quarters back or so, we announced metallization capacity, which is eligible, in fact, for the PLI incentive also. I mean, that's for the capacitor side.
Really very good margin.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So I would say, I mean, Cosmo First Limited stands for four decades young Indian business conglomerate that thrives on innovation to unlock value in diverse sectors, including films, consumer care, specialty chemicals, and direct-to-consumer pet care business under Zigny brand. So to sum up for the investors, the company is taking all required steps to transform into a specialty packaging and specialty chemical company with B2B and B2C segment in years to come. Specialty polyester line, BOPP line, CPP line, which are expected to get commissioned between FY 23 to 25, plus focus on enhanced specialty sales, diversification into specialty chemical and pet care, we are the sectors to drive growth in the coming years. The company's focus very clearly will continue on improving specialty films, R&D and sustainability, which should yield results in coming years. At the end of the call, I will repeat statutory declaration. Certain statements in this con call may be forward-looking statements. These statements are based on management's current expectations and are subject to uncertainty and changes in circumstances. These statements are not guarantees of future results. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cosmo Films Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.